Jeremiah chapter number 1, verse number 1. The Bible says, "The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anathoth, in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Amon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the 5th month. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant." And honestly, we may spend a couple weeks here in this first 10 verses of Jeremiah. There's a lot in here, so we're going to look at several things here. But let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your love for us. Thank you for your grace to us this week, Lord. We think of those that aren't with us this morning. We think of Waltons and just other folks, Lord, that have health needs. And we think of our pastor and some others that are away, just getting away for a week or two. And, Lord, we pray for those, Lord. And some hearts are heavy this morning. And, Lord, I pray that you just comfort those and be with them. Lord, I pray that as we come to your house this morning, that it would just be an encouragement to your people, and that as we look at the will of God for our lives and Lord, just kind of try to perceive a few different things, I pray, Lord, that you just give us an understanding out of your word. Lord, guide my lips. Lord, help me to just get out of the way and help me to allow you to speak through me this morning. And we love you. Thank you for these good folks. Thank you for all the Sunday school classes. And I pray that you just guide in each one in Jesus' name. Amen. First thing I want to bring your attention to, and we're not going to talk about this a long time, but first thing is in Jeremiah chapter 1, in verse number 1, the Bible says, "The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah." And, you know, you could preach, honestly, a whole message on those few words right there. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah. You know, and I just want to, and I guess everybody in here is probably on the backside of this relationship, okay? Most of you have probably lost your parents or, someone or so of your parents. But you all are a son or a daughter of somebody, okay? And there's a unique relationship. But if you go through the Bible, it's interesting when the Bible describes somebody, almost without fail, when it gives somebody's name, if you'll notice, it also gives their father's name in the Bible. And there's a good truth there. You know, you are a representative of your parents. You are a representative. And, you know, and my kids are a representative of me and my wife. I understand, you know, folks, children make decisions. And children, everybody has a free will and everybody can do whatever they want to, okay? You understand that. But there's also the principles in the Bible, train up a child in the way he should go. And, you know, you train a child a certain way and you do what's right, and that child will honor, and you go to the book of Proverbs and it talks about children that honor their father. A child that lives wisely is an honor, but a foolish son is a shame to his father. And it's interesting, you know, we don't know, there's not a book in the Bible about Hilkiah, okay? But the son of Hilkiah, Jeremiah, and it, you know, I think the Bible gives due homage to the father of these people. And I guess it's just keep that in the back of your mind, you know, and I think everybody in here is wise enough, but, you know, I'm a rep, my parents, they went down to see Rachel this weekend down in Kentucky, and, you know, I'm a representative of my father. It's funny, you get around the High Mara, all that area, I can tell people my name. I say, I'm Chad Gordon. And then I say, and they're like, Chad Gordon, Gordon. I was like, I'm Jack's boy. I'm Jack's boy. Automatically. Oh, okay, I know Jack. They don't know me. But everybody over there knows my dad. Okay? And you know what? He has a good reputation over there. I mean, you know, he could go help any. It's amazing how many people ask him to come help them with different things physically, and he gets frustrated. I've been working with him here recently, and it's interesting the father-son relationship there. But he gets frustrated with, you know, he's not able to do what he used to be able to do even 2-3 years ago. He's just physically not able to do it, and he gets frustrated with himself about it. But at the same time, you know, I'm a representative. You know, in some ways, is, you know, I need to carry on that tradition. You know, everybody knew him as a hard worker. That everybody knows him as that. And I don't want to do anything that would shame my father. And it's just interesting. So that, you know, that's just a kind of a side note, I guess, more than anything. But, you know, are you a good representative of your father? Are you a good representative of your heavenly father? Because, you know, you're also known as a child of God. And when people look at us, are they seeing, well, are they bringing shame, or are they bringing honor to their father? We all understand it. Nobody wants to disappoint their earthly father, okay? But sometimes we break that relationship apart, and it's easy to disappoint a father that we've never seen, okay? But, you know, keep that in the back of your mind. So the words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, and then it basically gives you a time frame of when all this was written. About the 13th year of Josiah, it was after, they think about 60 years after Isaiah died, okay, right before the Babylonian captivity. Verse number 4, then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And we're pretty much going to stick on this, that one statement this morning. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. You know, and there is a comfort. There's a comfort that comes from, you know, God knows everything eternity past, and he knows everything eternity future. He knows everyone that will be born. He knows everything about that person that will be born. You know, nothing's a surprise to God. You know, little case. I mean, God, you know, we don't like it, and we're shocked by it. But, you know, that didn't surprise God, because God made that. God made that. You know, that's why abortion is so wrong. It is. That's why abortion is so wrong, is because you're killing something that God made special. You know, I go out and I deer hunt. I've killed some deer this year. You know, okay. But that's not a human's, that, you know, and God breathed into Adam, and man became a living soul. That's the only part of creation. And man has no right to kill something, all right? Euthanasia, that's not right, okay? That's not right. Now, you know, I don't have a will. I've told people certain things I want to happen when I die, but I don't really have a will, okay? But I don't want to, you know, don't keep me alive, okay? I'm just saying that right now. If, you know, if something's wrong with me, like, you know, I get in a bad accident, I fall off a roof, and, you know, I'm brain dead, you know, just pull the plug, you know, donate my body to science, you know, do something. I don't care. But, you know, and seriously, you know, and I've already told people this. In fact, I've mentioned a certain situation to people, but, you know, if I'm close to dying and there's pretty much no hope for me, I've already pretty much accepted the whole death thing. I mean, it doesn't bother me. If you come tonight, we'll talk more about it. So, give you a little hint about tonight. But death doesn't bother me. What bothers me about death is, I guess, those that I leave behind and the ones that I'm responsible for taking care of, that I would not be responsible for taking care of. That's the only thing that bothers me about death. I don't really care. I mean, you know, have you ever dipped your finger in a glass of water and pulled it out? Did that leave a lasting impression on the water? You know, the Bible says life is a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanisheth away. In the whole scheme of things, you know, most people die, and I'll die. And while I'm here on earth, I want to make as big an impact. I want to make as big a splash as I can. You know what I mean? So the ripples reach. The bigger the splash, the farther the ripples we reach. Now, I'm not saying I'm doing it for my, that people remember me, but it's just that maybe I can impact somebody for eternity. And, I don't care if they ever know my name, but maybe the ripple of my life will reach somebody a long way away. You could preach a whole message about that. But anyway, I started to say, if I'm going to die, I'd rather, if I've got a healthy heart and a healthy organs, I would rather, honestly, I'd rather you take those and give them to somebody else that needs them. There's people out there that are on list waiting for. Now, it's like, if they're going to, I'd rather go to a Christian person, honestly. I don't know if you can specify that or not. I don't know if that's possible, but, I would. I'd rather somebody get good use out of it, but that's kind of morbid. I don't know, But Bible says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. I knew thee. Before my parents were ever even thought of, God knew about me. Before my parents were ever came together, ever knew each other, God knew about me. And the same thing could be said about anybody. God knows about, we've got some young adults over here. God knows about any other children that God could bless them with down the road. God knows about them. And there's a blessing, hey, that he knows. He knows what your name's going to be. He does. There's a song, and he knows my name. I've heard some of the girls, they like play it on the piano. But he does. He knows your name, and he knows about you. And so I'm going to talk about that just a little bit this morning, about how God's got a special plan for everybody, how God's got a special plan for everybody. Now, we're going to go into a little bit about their topic. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. And honestly, I'm not going to dive really far into it because I don't have time to do it this morning. I wrote a whole paper in college. It was actually like an essay I had to do about hyper-Calvinism and predestination. Okay? Now, for those of you that don't know, basically, Calvinism is a belief that God only saves a certain few people. Those are the only people that are able to be saved. That's what Calvinism is, okay? And that's heresy. That's not true. And there's several reasons. And honestly, I don't have time. Like I said, we could take 4 hours. I remember I had 20-some pages of paper on this essay about why Calvinism is a heresy, okay? But it is a heresy. It's basically a lazy Christian is pretty much what it sums up to be, is they just don't want to go out and witness to people because they're not going to get saved anyway, okay? But Romans chapter 8, we're going to look at verse number 28. Find there. Remember what we read in Isaiah. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Now listen to this. And we know, that's talking about us, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now, we all love that verse, Romans 8:28. Everybody uses that verse. That's a comforting verse. When you're going through hard times, well, it's nice to know that no matter what happens, this is all God has a purpose for all of this. And we sometimes I think we pull that out of context. Okay, we want to take that verse completely out of context. We just want to look at that verse. But look at verse 29. Four. Now, four goes back to what it was talking about before, okay? So we're looking back at verse 28, going into verse 29. For whom he did foreknow. Remember what Isaiah said? Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before I formed thee, I knew. So that's a foreknowledge. So that's a foreknowledge of God, that God knows about you. God knows about me. God knows about everybody. God knows about every situation. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, Them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. You know what? You know what's hard to understand about the situations that go on in life that we just sometimes you're like, Brother Chad, why did this happen? Why do I have this disease? Why does my kids have to go through this? Why? And I'm here to tell you this morning, I have no clue. Isn't that comforting? I have no clue, but God knows, because he has this foreknowledge. I don't know how to explain this in a good way. Okay, you say, Brother Chad, why are some people never given the opportunity to really have a clear presentation of the gospel? You ever thought about that? If God wants everybody to be saved, because he does, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Jesus looked over Jerusalem, and he said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, how often would I have gathered thee under my wings, or gathered thee under something like that, and the Bible says, but ye what? Would not. Ye would not. So how if God wants everybody to be saved, why isn't there like a big light in heaven, you know, that has the plan of salvation, that everybody can look up? Well, you know, the Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. I think everybody is given in some way, they are given an opportunity to know a creator. You can look in the skies and know that that's not humanly possible. That's why so many, here's my country rant again. That's why one reason I believe that cities are wicked, if you want to know my personal opinion about it. You know, you go in a city, you go up in Indianapolis right now, you can't see a single star. You can't. It's impossible. Well, if somebody grows up in a man-made environment, how do they ever know about a creator? A concrete jungle, how do they ever know about a creator? Anyway, there we go again. But God predestined us. You know, this is the whole thing about, I don't know God's ultimate plan, because he said he predestined to be conformed to the image. Well, let's break that word down, all right? Predestined. What's a destiny? What's a destiny? What's a destination? Is that a more familiar term? Okay, a destination. I've got this map here. This is actually a map of Tennessee. I couldn't find one of Indiana. So this is a map of Tennessee. All right, it's half a map, because half of it's on one side, half of it's on the other. All right, let's say I start, Memphis is in the southwestern corner, correct, of Tennessee. Up in the northeastern corner is right on the border is a little town called Bristol, Tennessee. Bristol, actually, I think Bristol is a city that half of it is in Tennessee and half of it's in West Virginia or something like, is it West Virginia? Because there's, the only reason I know that is because there was a guy on the radio that would preach out of a church in Bristol, and he would advertise half of his church, like he had two churches in Bristol. One was in Tennessee and one was in West Virginia or something like that. But anyway, so let's say we are in Bristol, northeastern corner, and we want to go to Memphis, southwestern corner. So what is our destination? Memphis. Memphis is our destination. Now, we know this. We know that Memphis is our destination. Okay? Nobody just, well, I say nobody. There's some weird ones out there. But most people don't just get on the road and just drive. Do they? Not normally. Okay. Some people do. The other day, we was coming back from Indy, and little ways out of Brazil, I turned off on this side road. Okay. Now, the nice thing about our area of Indiana, everything's pretty much blocked out into mile squares. Okay. And Rachel's like, "Where are you going?" I was like, "Home." I was going home. That was my destination, was home. But I took a different route to get to my ultimate destination, okay? And we meandered back through the river bottoms down around the Eel River, and we come out there right on the corner. Is it Briley Chapel? Is it Briley Chapel there on the corner? Anyway, whatever church that is. I get my churches over there mixed up. But we come out there, and, you know, I was 2.5 miles from home by that point. Now, was that the quickest way? No. Was that the easiest way on the vehicle? No. There's some rough roads through there. But it was a different way. But what was my ultimate destination still? Home. My ultimate destination. You know, even it, well, I'm just going to go out for a drive. Well, you know, my dad would always go out for drives. But you know what he was actually doing? He was scouting fields. He was looking at other guys' fields to see who had good-looking crops. That was his purpose. That was his destination. And he'd go meander, but he would always come back home. And, you know, God has, we don't see it. You know, I couldn't, if I'm sitting in Bristol, I don't see Memphis, do I? I don't even see 5 miles down the road. Especially not in Tennessee. I don't see 5 miles down the road. There's some parts you may not see 2 miles down the road. But my destination is where? Memphis. And you know, God has a big map someplace that he's got a plan, a destination, if you would, for everybody and everybody's life. You know, the Bible says, you know, we just read it. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. God has a purpose. Well, Brother Chad, God didn't give them a very long life. I don't know the complete answer to that. But at the same time, I don't see the whole map either. And here's the other thing. You know, I think if everybody, mull over this concept for a while this week, if everybody would do the will of God, there wouldn't be no problems in the world. I know as simple as that concept is, if everybody followed the will of God, the big map, the big picture, if you would, you know, everybody would hear about the gospel. Everybody would be a Christian. You wouldn't have killing. You wouldn't have murder. You wouldn't have, you know, molestation. You wouldn't have all that stuff. You say, Brother Chad, why do some people not hear, and I'm going to give it to you, why do some people not hear about God and don't have a clear presentation of the gospel? Because someplace, at some time, somebody took a detour into sin and they got lost. And maybe they were a Christian. But maybe their kids never have the opportunity to hear about Jesus Christ because their parents took a detour. God wanted them to go from Bristol to Memphis. But some, you know, there's a lot of exits between Bristol and Memphis, I guarantee you. You know, and every time you get off on an exit, and I've said this before, the only time I spend money on a trip is when I get off on an exit. And the only time sin, you know, sin's going to cost you every time you get off. It'll cost you part of your life. You know how long an exit break takes? A long time. We were going to Louisiana. And when we went down there, I mean, we stopped for bathroom breaks, and I don't know, we fueled up 2 or 3 times. And then on the way back, Brother Nathan, his monster truck, like we had to stop like every 150 miles just to fuel up. And it was just like, but you know what? Every time we stopped, it cost money. It cost us some time. And you know, in the whole scheme of things, when you deviate from God's plan, when you deviate from the foreknowledge, from the destination that God has for us, it's going to cost somebody something. Could cost me. You know, every time I do something that God doesn't want me to do, it costs me either my time, which time is life, a lot of times it's just a stupid mistake and it costs me financially or in other ways. You know, folks, God has that perfect plan for us. And I don't always understand it. I don't always understand it. And you know, Brother Chad, what about this situation? Well, I don't know every situation. But remember, I can't see, just remember this, if you can take any analogy with you, when I'm headed towards a destination, I cannot see but just a few miles down the road. I can't. I don't know what's down the road. But if I know I'm in the will of God, I'm doing, Brother Chad, as God knows my heart, I'm exactly where God wants me to be. There's nothing that God has asked me to do that I have not done. I am 100%, I don't know of anything I could do that's not what I'm supposed to be. I'm on the road that, as far as I know, I believe I'm supposed to be on. Just trust. You say, Brother Chad, why did this come? Why is this happening? Just trust that there is a map someplace. You know, and God knows. God knows. I don't know. I don't see down that road. I can't see down the road. You know, it'd be neat to have an aerial picture. You know, that thing Brother Josh did the other day, I thought was really neat. You know, you can see the whole, it's amazing how you're, you know, we live in such a little bubble. We do. I was driving down those roads with my wife, and I do this a lot. Maybe I'm weird, which I know I'm weird. But you look at these different houses, and you think, I wonder who lives there. I don't know that person. They have their own life in and of themselves. They have their own friends. They have their own contacts. They have their own people. They don't know me. I don't know them. Complete strangers. But we all live in the same world. Isn't that, I don't know, maybe it's my mind. It's kind of amazing. And we get so wrapped up. You know, I don't know that maybe somebody laying in that house is dying of cancer. And we get so wrapped up in everything that we're about. We get so wrapped up in what's happening on our, you know, 500 yard of road in God's will that we sometimes lose the big picture. So remember, you know, we only can see just a little ways down the road. And take this with you too. Every time you exit, it's going to cost somebody. Now, I could still be heading in a southwestern direction towards Memphis, but I may not reach there in my lifetime. Depends on how long I spend off of God's will for my life. And you know, the nice thing about God's will is too, is there's usually an exit that you can get back on. Someplace you can get back on. So you say, Brother Chad, I've left it, and I've been kind of meandering down, taking the scenic tour through the world, and I found, Brother Chad, it's not so scenic. Well, go find an exit and leave that junk and get back on the will of God for your life and do the will of God for your life, and you'll live a blessed life. Will you understand everything? No. I'm just a pawn. I am just a pawn that I hope that God finds to be a willing pawn, that whenever he wants to move me, that I will move. Wherever he wants me to go, I'll go. Let's pray this morning. Father, we love you. Thank you for this. It's amazing, Lord. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. You know my destination, Lord. You've got everything planned out. You know the people that I'm supposed to touch with my life. You know the people that I need to share the gospel with from now till the time I die. You have all those things set up. If I will be where I'm supposed to be and do what I'm supposed to do, Lord, if nothing else, I will have accomplished your will for my life. And that is what matters. Lord, we thank you for these people. Lord, our hearts are with those that aren't with us this morning. I pray that you just help and guide. Thank you for your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen.